This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
And on this Wednesday program, we've got the last comments from Alex Golish before the spring football game, also a couple of members of his team. Highlights from a fourth straight win for baseball. It was a well-pitched game that it seemed like the Bulls might not break loose in, and they finally did, all in support of a fantastic pitching performance by Dominic Madonna. And oh yeah, get ready for the final call in our second segment, which did include plenty of Madonna song titles I've been storing up. Big time challenge for softball tonight, going to the University of Florida, the third best offense in the country. We will have that live for you on Bulls Unlimited. We'll also here tell you about some great stuff that's going on with track and field. The men's team is now ranked third in the country. Yeah, details on that, including the male track athlete of the week in the conference who got some serious national honors as well. Since we don't do a show on Tuesday, we also have the weekly honors that feature members of the baseball and softball teams. In our second block, we'll tell you a little bit about women's golf, which had for it a disappointing finish. So that tells you how good Erica Brennan's team is when third place is disappointing. And when you have two golfers in the top five individually, still a fantastic showing getting ready for the conference tournament, which is being hosted by the Bulls. We'll also pass along some sad news. It was inevitable that maybe the full roster would not return for Amir Abdur-Rahim's team, but oh man, a couple of key members, as in your top two leading scorers, Chris Youngblood and Selton Miguel, entering the transfer portal. Nothing but love from both coaches and players in this regard, but it still makes you a little bit bummed out. Also, official news of the women's basketball transfers and a couple of transfers from soccer familiar names that are going to land on the women's team. So that's official news coming out of rosters being constructed. Now we have official news of the USF on-campus stadium construction managing team. It was announced this week, a significant announcement. Manhattan Construction Company, H.J. Russell and Company, and Ducon LLC, which has worked around the Tampa Bay region and state of Florida on plenty of different projects. The enhancement to Ray J back in 2016, renovations at FSU, which are fantastic. And oh yeah, they worked on the Cowboys football stadium as well. You can get more details up at usf.edu. As I said, a lot of Alex Golish here on the first part of the show. Let's get right into some of the benefits of the success from last year and having a staff in place. Yeah, the players are actually doing some of the coaching now.
I think it's monumental to have guys in the locker room. The locker room in general is a critical place. It's where conversations happen. It's where the culture of your room, of your team, is exposed or it's enriched, you know, and certainly the expectations, the standards, the leadership in that locker room is absolutely critically important. That's what, to be honest with you, keeps me up at night, is what is the tone of that locker room, and having leaders in there that you can count on. Year one, you had no idea. Year two, you feel like you've got a really good grasp, but that's constantly what you're working on. And I, to be honest with you, I always think you're working on that through how you recruit, what you tell people in recruiting, and then obviously how you handle the players. For us, it's really simple. Like, the be who you say you are mantra is everything. Like, there's a lot of people that could say a lot of things about me, but I do what I say I'm gonna do, and I try to live up to that standard at all times, pushing everybody within our program to do that, certainly our coaching staff and our players. That's how you can control, at least to a point, of what the vibe in that locker room is. Guys that are happy, unhappy, guys that feel like they're getting what they should or shouldn't, as long as it's exactly what we say we're doing, I'm comfortable with it. But certainly the leadership in the locker room, bringing the guys in and letting them know what the standard is starts small positionally and works throughout the whole team.
Couple more from Coach Golish. One on a couple of players from each side of the ball that have been leading the way that you might not know about.
Yeah, I would say offensively, Jaquan Smith. Jaquan has taken that step that we were hoping a young guy, a freshman that played a little bit would take, developed a level of confidence. He's always been able to run. He's always been physical. It's been learning how to play receiver in this offense. Been learning how to be a college athlete at this level. Man, I feel like he's put it all together. He had an indoor track season in there to help him, but he's really put it all together. He's given us the ability to move him around some, given us the ability to be flexible positionally with him. He's different because of the way he runs, but what really makes him different is he's kind of put it all together. He's highly intelligent, so he's always known it. Now you're able to go coach the next level, the releases and having counters to releases and top of routes and all those things. So offensively, I would say him. Defensively, I would probably say Ruck. And I've known Ruck since he was a freshman. I remember him pulling up to the dorm at the last spot and his family dropping him off and him having a ton of success as a freshman. Ruck has really brought a cool energy to the defensive backfield, but really to the entire defense. He's come in, fit right in. Guys like AB, guys like Logan Berryhill, Hammy, Stokes, these veteran guys, Tavin Ward, have taken him under their wing, and he's just blossomed. Ben Knox has done an incredible job with him, a guy that isn't practicing right now, but has taken Ruck under his wing. And he's really elevated the level of play at that corner position for us. So I guess two guys that probably aren't household names, certainly, but guys that have stood out to me as taking a giant step and playing really confidently.
Smith only got in one game last year against UABs from California. And Deshaun Rucker is a cornerback transfer from Tennessee, who also spoke during the press conference. Get ready to hear that. But one more with Coach Golish. Love this. Having some fun in year two.
Yeah, the energy has been what's been the most fun part of coming out here every day. These guys are competing like crazy. You know, it also helps. We've had a ton of recruits at every practice. So there's like a crowd. You know, the last two scrimmages, we had, I think, 350 people here on Good Friday. We had 450 people here on Saturday. So there's always like a little bit of an audience, which helps. That certainly wasn't the case a year ago. So, but the energy, the juice level, I'm telling you, there's something contagious in that group. It's fun to come out and see these guys really compete at a high level and get coached and coach each other. I said it a couple of times, but this is the most fun I've ever had coaching. And to be honest with you, it's because of these players. And I think our staff has done a really good job of continuously bringing a level of energy that you'd expect. But these guys, like I've warned them going into spring, like do not let this get monotonous. It can't be monotonous. That's my job as the head coach, is to create a lack of monotony and continue to invigorate new things. They're still 18 to 22-year-olds. So the energy has been, I think, really, 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 really high. The couple of times where you felt a lull, we brought them up, and I said, man, that's not the standard. Like, we got to go, and it's been really fun. Spring game, like you said, I think it is. It's a celebration at the end of spring. It's a way for these guys to go play in front of a bigger crowd. It's a way for us to get recruits here this weekend. We'll have a ton of guys here. And it's cool for them to see the fan engagement, and it's cool to see a bunch of green and gold in the stands. That's huge for us. Spring is a huge time. It's even bigger now than it's ever been because of the calendar and the recruiting calendar, continuously the energy our guys are playing with. That's infectious.
A lot to be excited about, including the fact that the spring game is sold out already, which is amazing. And we will have it for you on Bulls Unlimited Saturday afternoon. So if you didn't get a ticket, follow along with the action right here on the stream. Jim Lauk and Sam Barrington will have the call, and Friday's show will give you all we can give you on what the game is going to look like. And of course, those guys will do all of it. And Joey Johnston and BJ Daniels will have all of the pulled hamstrings. I mean, all of the great action at halftime, the flag football alumni game. It's all going to be fun. And again, it is sold out. So make sure for a 2:00 start, you plan on getting there a little bit early to Corbett Stadium. There'll be a lot going on, including softball, which is the reason why I won't be part of the football broadcast. I'll be getting set up for that at 4:00. You heard him mention Deshaun Rucker, who is from Godby High School in Tallahassee, somebody that Coach Golish had his eye on and, of course, worked with at Tennessee for 3 seasons. He was there. Now he is happy to be a Bull and happy to show the fans something on the spring game.
Right. So we heard it's supposed to be sold out. So we're very excited for that, just to see the fans. It's my first time with this fan. So it's just exciting. We've been working nonstop, just getting better with each other, just growing a bond together. So we're just ready to just unleash all of that in front of the fans and show what we had this season.
Well, after showing the baseball fans a lot of thrills on Sunday, there were, well, a few less until the last few innings, and then the action picked up as the Bulls won their fourth straight. You're going to hear what Billy Moll told me about that wild suicide squeeze ending Sunday and then highlights of a 4-1 victory over Bethune-Cookman on Tuesday. Before that, we'll preview a big challenge for softball tonight. Plenty more after that with track and field and golf, and yes, saying goodbye to some on the men's basketball side and saying hello to some on the women's basketball and women's soccer side. All of that and more when Bulls Beat continues.
Back to the beat. Bulls Beat continues with Derek Sharp.
Pretty stiff challenge for the softball team tonight at Florida. The Gators just pulled off a dramatic series victory. All the games were close against fifth-ranked LSU. They were down 5-1 in the sixth inning in the finale, tied it on a bases-clearing triple by Kendra Falby, who's from Sun Lake High School, and then Falby was actually at the plate on a called strike three, but it was dropped, and her speed got her to first base with the walk-off drop strike three victory, so they are feeling it. They were relatively normal softball scores this past weekend. The wins were 4-2 and 6-5. The loss was 4-3 for the now ninth-ranked Gators. But a lot of their scores have been, well, the game's been decided early. It's why the first weekend of the season, the Bailey Drapola homer taking off the run rule was no small note.
Gators have walked seven times, the ball's won. That ball is ripped to deep left by Drapola, and how about that? A home run by Bailey Drapola. We've been talking about the Bulls hitting the ball, but that one was walloped, and it is 9-2. So the run rule is off the books.
It did allow the Gators to score three more runs. They won 12-3, but the fact that it was not a run rule, folks, the Gators are 34-6, and of their 34 wins, basically two out of every three are via the run rule. Try a program record, two dozen even, including a few in conference play where they have won every series. They started off their conference play against Alabama and won two of three, including 11-2 in five innings in Tuscaloosa. They were actually, though, shut out the next game, which is kind of wild. Then they stepped out of conference to play some really good teams, including Indiana, who they beat 10-4 and 10-0. Went to FGCU, which is a top 50 team who the Bulls split with, and won that game 9-0. And then back into SEC, where the going is pretty tough, and they won two more via the run rule against Kentucky, 10-2 and 9-1. They did lose to Mississippi State 13-12 before taking the next two, 8-5 and 7-6, and then last weekend making it four SEC series and four SEC series victories. That's who the Bulls go up against tonight. And when we go live tonight from Gainesville, obviously we'll give you much more on the opponent right now. Ninth in the country at 34-6 and third in the country, by the way, in scoring runs per game, 8.63. Remember, the run rule, if you get to 8-0, that's where it stops you. I'm sure they could score a few more. For the Bulls, hey man, if they win, they go right into the NCAA tournament. I was really looking at it. Not just the obvious teams that you guys know that the Bulls played, the famously playing two teams that made the College World Series last year, Oklahoma State and Washington, and they're still very ranked highly in the RPI, but teams that the Bulls beat, and some twice, like Louisville in the top 50, are very highly ranked. They've got the schedule, and especially this is something that, you know, we didn't have in men's basketball, for example. We certainly didn't have in women's basketball. The teams in the conference that are in the top 50 that are still on the Bulls' schedule stand to help them out if they can win those series starting this weekend against Wichita State. But before that, it's going up against the Gators tonight. We'll be on the air at 6 o'clock or a little bit before from Gainesville. And then tomorrow morning, great conversation that yours truly and Jim Lauck had with Ken Erickson for the new Bullseye Show. We also spoke with Peyton Dixon, Payday, the ace pitcher for the Bulls. We also had a chance, Kaylee Cottrell did, to catch up to Julia Apostolakos. Her story is very interesting, not just a freshman who is from up north, but also is a member of the Greek national team and is an accomplished power lifter. So you'll hear those conversations along with Jack Taylor, assistant coach of the football team. Kaylee did a sit-down chat with him. That's on tomorrow morning's Bullseye beginning at 7 o'clock. Baseball has won four games in a row. We had the action for you live last night. And before we get to the action, we did get the full breakdown of what happened at the end of the game. And oh, by the way, both Billy Moll and Ken Erickson off the air busted my chops a little bit for maybe getting a little bit overexcited on the way the game ended on Sunday, the unlikely nature of the victory. First of all, Ken Erickson said, "I heard your Porky Pig impression." You know, sometimes the words, you know what you're going to say, but they don't come out of your mouth in exactly the smoothest fashion. Here's how it sounded, and then Billy Moll on the actual play call. Puts it down, a bump, and there's the force, and it's going to work out because it was a suicide squeeze, and the game is over! The old bases loaded walk-off bunt to perfection by Cole Robertson.
And I think that's one where if there's one out, you don't try it. If you don't have Drew Brutcher on deck with nobody out, you don't try it. But what the heck?
Yeah, we got the Bobby spot, and obviously he's not ready to hit. So we, Cole, who I know can get a bunt down, we put him in. And obviously he's been struggling at the plate. So I gave him a swing, and I told him, hey, once we get a strike, we're going to go for the suicide. Just get it down fair. And he said, yes, sir. And, you know, if it would have failed, you know, the best thing was you had the lineup turning over with Brutcher right behind him. So I felt the risk was worth the reward in that situation, and Cole executed to perfection.
Well, we were starting to think last night that maybe the Bulls are trying to pull the same trick, which is not score any runs until the bottom of the ninth inning, and then start the drama. Actually, they went to that pump it up well with the music there in the press box in the first inning, thought that was a little too early, but nothing was getting pumped up for the Bulls against the starting pitcher, Joel Coore, who really had been the hard luck, no decision slash loser, because the freshman from Orlando had pitched in three straight Tuesday games between five and six innings where he gave up either one or two runs and did not get the decision because he did not get the run support. That was the only thing that was giving you hope, because the Bulls were being kept off balance. They were getting no hit until the fifth inning. And even when they got their first hit, they had gotten a two-out walk in each of the third, the fourth, and the fifth. Even when they got their first hit, there was nothing to enjoy about it.
Brodell golfs that ball to left, but it looks like it's going to hang up for Chen. No, it gets down. Boy, so used to getting caught out there. But here comes the throw into third base, and they get Snow easily. So the first base hit is enjoyed for all of 3 seconds. Chun got to it, and they had Snow easily.
Meanwhile, Dominic Madonna was rolling along when he pitched against Bethune-Cookman 2 weeks ago in Daytona. He went five innings and just gave up one run. Well, in this case, he did give up a run in the fourth inning, and it was how Bethune-Cookman has been doing it this year. Last season, they actually almost had more home runs than stolen bases, 35-37. This year, just 8 home runs, but 69 steals. When they get on the bags, they are moving around. They had a leadoff single, an immediate sack bump, and then a solid RBI single. But that was it. Madonna was fantastic. Remember, he walked 5. This was all after he had been given a 7-0 lead a week ago. So he really wanted to improve his control, and he was fantastic for the Bulls. 8 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk. But could he get some run support? The Bulls started to get hits, as you heard, and then they started to pile up in the bottom of the seventh. As a matter of fact, on back-to-back pitches.
John Montez will start things off in the bottom of the seventh and lines a ball that actually gets by the first baseman. It takes a bit of a tick. I think Montez needs to hold up. Yeah, let's not give them any more outs on the base paths. That is one where I think any other scenario, if it is a regular score and your only previous hit had not been wiped out by a throw from the left fielder to get Eric Snow trying to go to third. Dusty Snider is sending John Montez there.
And again, with nobody out or two outs, they are throwing immediately and often over to first base with Montez.
Mayo up. Oh, he lines that ball. Deep to right field. The hits just keep on coming. Home run! Joel Coore had been fooling the Bulls until then. USF leads 2-1. 6th home run of the season. Absolutely golfs pitch number 88. An inside fastball out of the yard.
Stuart Puckett had an excuse me single that would end Joel Coore's day. And the Bulls would grab another run thanks to Matt Rose, who was just named the AAC Player of the Week for his nearly 600 hitting week for the Bulls. They tacked on one more run in the bottom of the 8th against former Bull Dylan Vega after Madonna came back out to pitch the top of the eighth. A poor pickoff play allowed for the Bulls to score in the bottom of the eighth, and that felt like it was needed insurance because Riley Skeen came on to get the close, and he gave up a single and then an error behind him. So it was first and second with nobody out, but Skeen closed the door and opened the chance for me for the first time to throw out Madonna song titles. And oh yeah, I wasn't holding back. Bulls are one strike away. Dominic Madonna was great. And now Riley Skeen looks to finish it off for his second save of the season. 2-2 to the pinch hitter Hodges. Here it is. Runners off and called strike three. Riley Skeen strikes out the side. And Dominic Madonna and the Bulls get the win. There was nothing borderline about Madonna tonight. Express yourself, Dom. And a fourth straight win that the Bulls can cherish. 4-1 against Bethune-Cookman. And heck yeah, I was going to use all those Madonna puns. I just wanted to wait until the very end.
I mean, I could have done some Where's the Party action. If Riley Skeen had not held on there, it could have been True Blue. But fortunately, it wasn't. Riley Skeen with his second save. And that is great to see. That curveball was untouchable against the righties. And the Bulls have now won four games in a row. Gets them to 20-13. On the season. Next up, Tulane, which got a much-needed win last night after dropping their conference series at UAB last weekend, including a one-run nail-biter in the finale. They go to their rival, UNO, which is having a good season, and win that game 7-4. We'll talk more about the Green Wave on Friday's show. Elsewhere yesterday in the conference, impressive again, East Carolina in run rule, beating Elon 12-0. Boy, oh boy, UTSA, which is the first-place team. And this was going to be the real challenge, right? UTSA entered the night with a 320 team batting average. Next best in the conference, your Bulls at 299. Well, last night, UTSA played third-ranked Texas A&M and almost pulled it off, lost 6-5. Only had five hits, but led it 5-1. Aggie scored three in the fifth, tied it in the eighth, and walked it off with a homer in the ninth. Looks like UTSA is the real deal, along with East Carolina at the top of the conference. Of course, the Bulls are right there tied for second place with the Pirates. And by the way, if you didn't know, nine conference series, series 7 and 8 for the Bulls are at East Carolina and at UTSA with a trip to Gainesville mixed in the middle. So pretty important to grab as many wins as you can and get into a position, you know, where you don't have to win both of those series. But that's a tad further down the road. Also last night, that Wichita State team that the Bulls swept, first series sweep, if you didn't know, since 2017 in the conference. Wichita State lost at home to another ranked team, Oklahoma State, 9-5. It was a lot of good competition for the conference. FAU dropped a decision to Miami in Coral Gables, 14-6. Charlotte rolled past NCA&T, 10-2. Rice, which is the only team in the conference single digit still in victories, lost at home to Incarnate Word, 11-5. Well, track and field continues to impress, and you want to talk about the strength of the SEC. We mentioned it with softball and just alluded to it with Texas A&M. Well, they're good in track and field. In fact, four of the top five ranked men's track and field teams in the country, according to the latest rankings, are from the SEC, and right smack dab in the middle of them, your South Florida Bulls. That's right, third in the country in the latest rankings. It helps when you have individuals set the top marks in the country, like the Bulls' own Abdul Rashid Saminu did in the 100-meter dash. He was named, get this, the National Male Athlete of the Week by the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association, also conveniently known as the USTFCCCA. Naturally, he was the conference male track athlete of the week as well. And while we're at it, the female track athlete of the week was Taryn Peterson, the sophomore for the Bulls. She has a conference best in the 400-meter dash, which is just outside top 25 in the entire NCAA this year, her time of just shy of 53 seconds. Women's golf. When you finish third and consider it a disappointment, it means your program's in a good spot. That's where the Bulls ended up, finished third. They entered the final round tied with Michigan for first place at the Chattanooga Classic. They were hampered by the fact that they did not have the services of Emma Fulcher. She withdrew from the proceedings after rounds of 80 and 83. So the players who performed for the Bulls really had been the ones who had been their top scorers either way. And wow, did Melanie Green and Alize Vidal both perform. MG, in an event where no team finished under par, shot an 8 under par for the event, second place behind only Michigan's Monet Chun, thanks to her middle round, a course record 10 under par 61, by the way, which came on the heels of a 74. Either way, it was MG finishing two shots behind her, and then just a couple other players under par, including the Bulls' own Alize Vidal, who finished fourth place at 2 under par. As a team, Michigan won it 3 over. Western Kentucky jumped over the Bulls with a 4 over final round. Again, the Bulls 9 over as a team, as Melanie Green's 2 under 69, by the way, 2 birdies and 16 pars. I'd say that's pretty solid. Vidal shot an even par. Again, both finished in the top 5 then. Wasn't her normal round. They've nicknamed her Last Round Liss. Alyssa Montgomery, the Va Tech transfer, went 6 over. So she still ended up in the top 20. I think Michigan was going to win this thing either way. Bulls finished 11 over par. It was a 5-shot drop-off to 4th. But wanted to mention Colorado State because, again, everybody ended up over par. In the final round, certainly everybody was over par as a team, except for one, Colorado State, which had gone 8 over in each of its first two rounds. And if they went 8 over again on Tuesday, they would have finished in 5th place. As it is, they finished tied for 4th by going 8 under par. A couple other teams of note in the tournament from the conference, UTSA. Again, the Bulls 11 over as a team. UTSA was 37 over, and Charlotte was next to last at 65 over. The way things are going, the Bulls, it's not like they're going to cruise to the conference championship, but certainly will be in the running to win it next week. The men compete for a conference championship next week. Alluded to it earlier, wanted to mention a couple of newcomers for women's soccer. Sarah Bruner, a transfer from Virginia, and CC Cross, a transfer from Houston. Plenty of high-level experience and 11 career goals between them. Women's soccer is in the midst, along with the men, of course, of their spring exhibition season. See them all over the place on the fields, but also hanging out at baseball games. Volleyball doing the same thing, playing some spring matches and adding some new players to their roster, which we'll tell you about before too long. Also, great article up on GoUSFBulls.com about the newcomers for Jose Fernandez's squad. Point guard from Mizzou, Mama Dembele, along with Ines Piper from Temple. I don't know if you saw it last night. A scatter graph was put out as far as everybody in the country, points and assists, and Caitlin Cross was leading the country in both by a lot. There was a graph with every name in those two categories, and Clark was at the upper right. But you could actually see, a lot of the names are covering each other up, you could actually see the outgoing and incoming point guards for the Bulls, because Aria Wilson didn't score a lot, but she had a bunch of assists, so she's up here on the left side. And you could see the name Dembele, because she did score quite a bit and was among the nation's leaders, 6th in the country in assists, so pretty cool stuff there. Couple reminders, tomorrow morning, a softball-themed Bullseye starts at 7 o'clock. And speaking of softball, we'll be live from Gainesville tonight for the Bulls and Gators around 6 o'clock. That wraps Bulls Beat for Wednesday. I'm Derek Sharp.